Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to the May 7th, 2012 edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams. I have a website called WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. That other guy is Matt Hinkins from Team All You Can Eat. And the other fellow is the human hand grenade, Danny Only.
Hi.
Hello. So tonight's guests, I will go ahead and say, are pretty big guests, actually. We've got The Temptation, Shawn Timpers, who is both the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight Champion as well as the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion. So he will be joining us. And then we will hear from the Exotic Ones, Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much, who are currently the South Georgia Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions and also embroiled in a feud for the Peach State Wrestling Alliance tag team titles, which they held recently after defeating the Washington Bullets. And they were involved in that crazy strap match that we mentioned briefly last week, so we're going to clear all that up, as well as some other things going on out there. I don't know if the two of you saw, but Shane Knowles has posted a video that he supposedly got a letter from someone. And so this Saturday may be the last Peach State Wrestling Alliance show, which would be sad because it's just a few weeks before their anniversary show. I believe their sixth anniversary is June 2nd, I believe. So I guess maybe Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much can fill us in a little bit on that. But until we hear from all of them, there's plenty of wrestling action over the weekend. We were just talking about it before we went on the air. Because Platinum Championship Wrestling did their show that runs every 2 weeks in Porterdale, which Danny Only made your debut in Porterdale, if I understand correctly.
Yep, I sure did, and it was awesome. Porterdale's just a town who's just hungry for wrestling. It's not, you know, it's not a smarky crowd that ruins the show by, you know, their snide little comments and shit like that to try to put themselves over. It's just people who want to enjoy wrestling, and that's what it is. I mean, it's different from any place that I wrestle currently, and it was just, it's a lot of fun, and it's a blast, and it's easy, and they just want to see wrestling, man. That's all it is. They're simple, good competition, and I think we did a pretty good job. I don't know what that building's capacity is, so I have no idea what the attendance was, but I'd say maybe around 100.
And that's probably a good estimate.
Yeah, and they were
from, that's up from the last show. I counted probably about 70 2 weeks ago. This was the first of the Porterdale shows I haven't been able to go to. I was at a wedding that night, so I missed a lot of wrestling, but so who did you wrestle out there, Danny?
I actually wrestled Dynamite Soul and tore his head off of the lariat. And then I was in the battle royal at the end and ended up taking out all three members of the Priority Males, which is Johnny Danger, Oscar Worthy, and Marco Polo. And I won the battle royal. So and one day there, I was pretty much made a star, and people there really dig me, so it was cool.
They were all about Danny Only. I mean, they really went crazy for Danny Only. So if you go out there, I'm pretty sure if you take the head off Eric Walker, you're guaranteed to be a success.
Yeah, that's all he wanted to see, man. He was out there running his mouth, but they wanted to see him get his ass kicked, and he did, so I didn't disappoint. I got a question, though. Are we sure we got enough room for Shawn Timpers' ego?
Well, I don't know. We've got, you know, we have up to 2 hours for the show, but I don't know how that translates to ego capacity. we'll see what happens when he calls in, and you know, if we have some kind of technical difficulties, I'll just mute him or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not gonna break my heart.
Sure, we're gonna smell his cologne through the phone though.
I think it's bandwidth. We have to worry about the bandwidth. That might take up two or three phone lines.
Oh
yeah.
Well, I didn't think about that. Maybe I shouldn't have scheduled the exotic ones on the same show.
That's a lot of fat business for one show, boy.
That is a whole lot of gay for one show.
Yeah. I thought about that about halfway through the day today. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know if those guys have ever even been in the ring together, but at least we'll have them on the same show. So did Rampage run this Sunday?
They did.
Yeah, I wasn't on that show.
Did you go to that, Matt?
I did not. I have not heard much tell. I think I think I heard that the Bullets might have finally got their first loss down there. That's really the only thing I've heard from that show. But maybe somebody can clear that up for us. It seems odd that they would lose. I mean, they've been on a bit of a run here lately. You know, things happen. It's a lot of wrestling they do, so I guess the chances of them losing are statistically greater.
Right. Well, I know the Jagged Edge retained his TNT title at up in Clayton on Saturday against a guy named Draven. And from what I hear, it wasn't much of a match. It was pretty much the Jagged Edge dominating, as he is known to do. Speaking of the Jagged Edge,
Draven retired.
I honestly have not heard of Draven, but maybe it's a Draven Jr. or something like that. I don't know.
Well, Draven was already pretty small, so I can't see a Jr.
Well, he did say he was a little guy, so it must have been the same one.
That must have been an indie wrestling retirement.
I've seen a few of those.
But speaking of the Jagged Edge, Danny and the Jagged Edge had quite a standoff or face-off in the Platinum Royal on Friday night at Academy Theater for Empire Show, which I think kind of stemmed from some of the discussion from last week's edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. But
yeah, man. Told him I was going to whoop his big ass.
Shadow Jackson eliminated both of them, which is a feat unto itself, and then went on to destroy the God's Gift to Wrestling, which, I mean, Shadow Jackson is now my favorite person ever for putting those two in their place.
God's Gift to Wrestling, the guy who did not call in the show that one time.
Right.
No, they certainly did not. Neither one of them called here. It was a clever ruse.
His brother.
That duped us all.
it was a ruse by his brother who definitely befuddled all of us, much to my chagrin.
Yes.
Last night.
What's that?
I found out something last night.
What'd you find out?
That you can make what I have dubbed the Fire Bomb by mixing Fireball, cinnamon whiskey, and Red Bull together, and it tastes really good, and it will eventually lead to you passing out naked on your back porch.
Yeah, it gets the job done. That's potency. That's a potent potable, as Jeopardy would call it.
So Fireball is good.
As long as certain members of your fan club don't find out where you live, Danny, you're probably okay naked on your back porch.
Yeah, man. Only estates is a close guarded secret. There's very few people who actually know where I live, or who would come way the hell out here and the middle of bumfuck where I live. So
I always imagined it was a cave of some fashion.
No, man. I
well,
it's kind of
like Strychnine has like a shack, sort of.
Yeah, Strychnine does. But, no, I got a big-ass house because I'm all. I work hard for this shit.
You do.
Well, Danny, I believe Sean Timpers is going to call in just a few minutes, and since he's embroiled in a feud with your Devil's Rejects cohort Azrael up at NWA Anarchy. I believe they have a cage match this weekend, so Azrael can try to get his title back.
He's embroiled in a feud with all of us.
Well, give us a little background on all that.
Well, you know, Tempers used to be a member of the Devil's Rejects. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, he might have been a founding member of the Devil's Rejects. And then he got this bug, this stick up his ass, where he, you know, he started thinking he was better than everybody, and he lost a match to Tank, and the Rejects' name was abandoned, and he went on his own, and you know, he still had, you know, Uncle Dan helping him out behind the scenes and all that, and then he decided that he was better than Dan Wilson, and he knew more, and he, you know, took on his own and decided that he knew what was best, and he crossed the boss, man. You don't lay your hands on Uncle Dan, and he did. So now he's gonna pay. You know, we got our things going on, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna cross paths a few more times. Yeah, you know, I got a lot of respect for Sean. He's definitely. I mean, he's freaking national champ or North American champ and the Anarchy champ, so that's saying something. But I don't think he has enough respect for us yet, so we're gonna have to earn it from him. And that's what we love doing. You know, the hate junkies are no mystery to kicking in heads and getting our own heads kicked in, and we earned the respect of the crowd at Cornelia. It took 2.5 years to do it, but we earned it. We earned the respect of the Urban Assault Squad. And now we'll earn the respect of Sean Tempers, and if not, then we'll just, you know, have to beat him up a lot.
Right. So when did he defeated Azrael for the Anarchy title? What, not at the last show, was it?
No, it was the one before. I'm a little foggy on the dates, but...
So he's had it for about a month?
Yeah, roundabout. And okay. He was going to lose it, man. He was going to lose it. Azrael hit the frog splash elbow, and that was it. But the NW Elite ran down to the ring and broke that up, and then me and Strychnine came out to help Izzy, and then Seven and Casanova hit a stuffed pile driver on Strychnine. We had to cart him out on a stretcher because he thought he had seriously hurt his neck. But Larry Goodman wrote once that he's indestructible, so he's doing okay. But, yeah, man. Yeah, he was going to lose that belt, and he knows it. And I don't care what he says. He knows he was going to lose it. And he's in the cage match with Azrael next Saturday, and he's going to lose it there. So
as someone who has been on the same side as him, as well as I'm assuming you've actually wrestled against him as well, right?
Yeah, me and Strychnine had a tag match against him and Bro Newsome.
Oh, so his... So he Strychnine is pretty much the opposite of him as far as aroma goes.
Yes.
I don't know. I've smelled that cologne. It's basically the same.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Strychnine and Tempers have some deal I don't know about, you know, where he's just bottling up his own smell, selling it to Tempers. And, hey, if he's doing it, I won't knock him. Make your money.
Yeah. Well, what is it like... You know, he showers himself in that cologne on his way to the ring every match I've ever seen him wrestle. So what is it like being in there with someone? Is that an advantage for him, you think?
Yeah, man, it's distracting. It's like wrestling Abercrombie and Fitch, the store. You know, it's like you're in there and it's so potent and it smells horrible and it's just, yeah, it's real overpowering. And I don't know, maybe it is a mind game because it definitely distracts and can, you know, detract your attention from what you're supposed to be doing in there with him, which is trying to win. And I don't know, I personally don't think he needs it. He's a good enough competitor, but hey, you got one more edge, then go with what you got, you know. But yeah, this shit stinks, man. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
So what do the Hate Junkies have scheduled this Saturday at Anarchy?
We're not at Anarchy this Saturday. We are actually heading up to Beyond Wrestling for the Burst the Bubble live event that they've got going on. We had a promo come out not too long ago where What had happened was the Hate Junkies were invited to represent Beyond Wrestling at the JT Lightning inaugural tournament. And we weren't going to be in the tournament, but there was going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of people there, and it was going to get a lot of hype and a lot of coverage, so it was going to be nothing but good things for us. Then we were informed that we were being pulled from the tournament, and we were going to be on the regular Beyond taping, or excuse me, we were not going to be on the regular Beyond tapings because we were pulled from the Beyond show to do the JT Lightning show, and then we were pulled from the JT Lightning show. So I got kind of pissed, man. I felt like I was getting used, and we informed them that we will be coming to Massachusetts, and their New England Showcase tag match is now, well, at the time, was going to be a winner-take-all three-way match because we were getting involved. And then we heard that the Washington Bullets have interjected themselves in it, too. So it looks like their New England Showcase match is going to be a winner-take-all four-way scramble, and the Hate Junkies and the Washington Bullets will be involved.
Man, it's a hot ticket.
We've talked
man.
About Beyond Wrestling previously, and it's usually just the wrestlers that are on the card that are in attendance for the DVD tapings. They said this is a live event, so is this going to be different from most of their shows?
Well, they do a live show Friday, or no, I'm sorry, the live show Saturday, and so we'll have the live show Saturday and then the closed taping Sunday for DVD sales.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess the cage at Anarchy will be mostly to keep out the Elite, since you guys won't be there.
Yep. You know, I hope Azrael's all right. I'm sure he will be. You know, but he is going to be there pretty much alone. So maybe the cage does what it's supposed to do: keeps the wrong ones out and keeps the right ones in. We'll see. But I do want to say, man, this weekend is going to suck because we're wrestling Friday at the Academy Theater at 10:30, and when we leave the Academy Theater, we are driving straight shot to Bridgewater, Massachusetts, and then at Bridgewater, we do the next day at North Andover, and then we leave North Andover Sunday and drive home and get home sometime Monday, so that's for all the young ones listening, and I'm still consider myself in that group. That is what we call paying dues, and it's going to suck. But the trip will be fun, I know. It's just the driving is torturous.
I'm glad.
Yeah, well, we heard you.
Some people don't decided they didn't want to do that anymore, but, you know, what do I know? At least you're not confused about how far it is this time, like you were coming from Chicago thinking it was going to be, you know, 30 minutes.
No, no, that wasn't me, bro. I got an A in geography. That was my partner, Eddie Graves, who thought Chicago to Boston was going to be, what, in his words, what, 5-6 hours?
Yeah, 1,000 miles on the DeLorean. You're fine. You get there before you left.
Yeah, that shit was, that was murderous. That was the longest trip I'd ever been involved in. I mean, that was 2,800 miles round trip. So, yeah, it was pretty rough.
When are you doing the Billy Corgan show again?
I don't know, man. I you know, I've been in touch with the guys up there, and they've told me, you know, that they were high on me and they wanted me back, but I'm not booked for the May event. The next show is, after that is June 15th, and I'm not sure if I'm on that one or not, so I just have to wait and see. I mean, I've heard from them that I'll be back, and I've heard from people who've been up there that said that the guys have been talking about us, so I don't know. You know, I like what I do up there with Eddie Graves. He's, you know, it's a good deal, but I honestly wouldn't mind trying to get Strict up there as well, because I think, you know, the Hate Junkies are something marketable.
Yeah.
I also think Khloe Kardashian's fat, but she's on TV right now. So. But I'm right on both accounts. You know, I think
was that a Danny Only tangent, or is she involved in that in some way?
No, it was just a tangent. Her and Lamar Odom have a pistachio commercial, and it just came on TV, I guess. So, yeah, she's fat.
A pistachio commercial?
Yep. You know, okay. It's like how they say so-and-so eats it this way, and, you know, so-and-so eats it this way. I got the TV muted, but I'm pretty sure it just said, Chloe eats them all.
I would love to make an expensive nut joke, but at the risk of, you know, passing censorship, I'll just keep it to myself.
Yeah.
Well, we're not FCC regulated.
I think they're trying to...
proven in the past.
They're doing viral marketing to try to sell as many pistachios as they can by warning you that now Chloe has a taste for pistachio when Chloe wants nuts.
Get out there, get them.
Chloe wants nuts.
I can just see the hate junkies just ruling Chicago. That seems like a town to be tailor-made for you twos.
Oh, man. You know what? The coolest thing in the world would, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was really, really cool to be there. I really liked it and had a lot of fun. But honestly, man, the coolest thing would be if we got there, you know, if they brought the hate junkies up there and put us in a match with anybody, and they just said, you got 10 minutes, go out there and tear it down. You know, and we would go out there, and we would definitely have people remembering us and talking about us. You know, and that's all you need. I mean, you want people who want you back. You know, that's what matters. So, I'd love to get up there, man, with Strick. I think it'd be a lot of fun. But I don't know, just kind of wait and see. We're doing Beyond, and that's going to get us a lot of exposure, and hopefully some people who have referred to the hate junkies as generic, maybe this will change their mind, and they'll see things a little differently. Who knows?
Maybe so. Speaking of someone who may have said that, I believe we have the Temptation Sean Timpers on the line.
Oh,
is
shit.
That you, Sean?
That's correct. Champ's in the house.
Champ, we were talking about you just a few minutes ago. For the listeners who may not be familiar with you, they've now been caught up on who you are and which titles you hold. And, of course, Danny Only has had a few things to say about you as well. But I guess the main reason we've got you on today is because you will be defending your NWA Anarchy title in a cage this weekend against Azrael. So let's talk a little bit about that match. You've had the title for, we figured, about a month now, I think. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, I just was able to score the victory over Azrael back at Hardcore Hell. So really haven't had a lot of title defenses. It's mostly been gone only with him being the former champion. But now it's all coming down to the big cage match. So really pumped about that. Didn't get to hear what Danny had to say about it, but I can only assume that it was pretty negative when it comes to my potential outcome. But I can set the record straight here. I appreciate you letting me the opportunity to discuss this with you. Coming up with this cage match, I really don't know why they decided to put us in the cage. My only imagination was that it could be to keep those fake Devil's Rejects, like the hate junkies, on the outside of the ring. So make sure they stay out so that the champ can get in the ring and do what I do best, and truly take it to Azrael to prove that, obviously, I am the North American champion. I am the best wrestler in North America, but I really am proud to be the Anarchy Heavyweight Champion as well. So it's really going to be a huge battle. Really looking forward to it coming out as a victory, of course.
Well, as Danny was just saying, the Hate Junkies actually will not be in the building. They're going to be in Massachusetts for Beyond Wrestling. So it seems like the cage will be there mostly to keep Seven and Brian Casanova out of the mix.
Yeah, you know, I know that the Reverend will be out there, and he's always sneaky. You can never trust him. And while the Hate Junkies may be far away, I know they have a vested interest in this match, but that really shows how much they support the other guys in their team by skipping out on this one with Azrael going up for the big one. But, you know, it's really not going to make a difference either way, because I know I'm going to be coming out victorious with or without the presence of the Hate Junkies on the outside.
Well, Danny, do you care to respond to that?
No, you know, I figure old Sean Tempers there loves the sound of his own voice, so I was just going to let him blab on for a little while, you know. I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing the cage is there to keep those punk bitches and Seven and Casanova out of the ring, because you know you were beat. You had to. So now there's not going to be anybody to save you. And true, we're going to be far away, but come on, man, you came up with Uncle Dan. You know what he's capable of. So we don't have to be there to make an impact. So I'll say this, best of luck to you, because we'll have to hear about it later, I guess.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you trying to be the bigger man here and wish me luck in the match, because I know you're not in being sincere when it comes to that, Danny. Let's get real.
Not at all. I hope you get skinned alive.
Let's go ahead and let's just be real here. Because when we talk about coming up with Uncle Dan, as you call him, I definitely know that he's one of the sneakiest guys out there and pretty underhanded. So he may have something up his sleeve, but thing is, nobody knows it better than I do. So I know all his tricks. So I certainly am prepared for anything that the Devil's Rejects are going to bring to me. You mentioned having the cage up to keep the rest of the NWA Elite on the outside. That is really not what the purpose is, I think. I really think they've really set Azrael up for failure here by locking him in the cage with a Temptation North American champion, Anarchy Heavyweight champion. I mean, I'm the best wrestler in North America. I got all the gold to prove it. And they want to lock Azrael in there with me? Yeah, fantastic idea. They're really going to punish me that way. I'm actually looking forward to it very much.
Now, it's not an escape match, is it, right? It's pinfall or submission inside the cage.
Yeah, that's the way we do it, NWA style, absolutely. That's the way it's going to be. The cage
good,
is there.
Good, because I know you're going to be scurrying to get the hell out of there, so I want to make sure you can win that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could only wish. No one's going to be wanting to get out of that cage more than Azrael, I can tell you that much, because, I mean, not only do I have a wide arsenal of weapons to beat him with, the neck breaker, need I go on when it comes to all my wide arsenal of weapons, my giant shoulders, well sculpted, of course. Yes, of course. The Temptation, not even going to come into play. Not that it would. Cage match, no disqualification, but I'm not even going to need it, man. Get real.
I guess we will just have to... Bullshit! Excuse me. Sorry. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I know you're a funny guy, man. Really appreciate all the jokes you have. And I know that you've wished me luck in this match. Again, I'm not going to need it. I'm going to be walking out with the championship, just as I always do. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity time to come in here and talk about the match, Danny. I'm not going to tell you I wish you the best of luck, because I actually wish the exact opposite. I just have the balls to be honest about it. So I got an investor conference call here for Temptation from Dan. I got a new line coming up here. So I'm going to have to jump off, guys. But I do appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak my mind here and let everybody out there be a little tempted by the Temptation.
All right, well, short but sweet, I guess. I appreciate you calling, and hopefully one of us will be able to make it out and see what happens this Saturday.
We'll be announcing it everywhere. Trust me, I'll let everybody know the good news that I'm still the champ. So make sure you keep up with all the Temptation news. You can do so at thetemptation.net, facebook.com/SeanTempers, or on Twitter at I_am_Temptation. Make sure you check it out Saturday night. I'll be sure to give you all the news. Danny, I'll make sure to let you know personally what exactly I've done to your teammate.
God, you're a dick.
All right. Well, thanks again, and have fun on your conference call.
Will do. I got work to do. You know how it is. I know you're a busy man. Absolutely. So your conference call, maybe got a new line of Temptation coming out. Got to work out with some international investors here. But we'll get it all straightened out and give you all the good news.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing from you again. Well,
sure.
Some of us do.
Sure, to come back sometime. Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
I wonder if he's going to be releasing the new Bros Balls smell.
Well, he said you'll be the first to find out. I believe we have the Exotic Ones on the line now, but we need to take a quick commercial. Speaking of balls. Yes. We need to take a quick commercial break, so we'll be back in just a minute with the South Georgia Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions, the Exotic Ones.
Pay the bills.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkle or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined by Matt Hankins and Danny Honley, and our guests now are the South Georgia Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions, the Exotic Ones, Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good morning!
Simon Sermon, what's up, buddy?
Ah, not a lot. Calling you from the land of peppermint sticks and sugar plums, Midtown Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, God.
Hey, well, Simon, pretty... I think I left my toothbrush at your house.
Oh, it's here. I'm using it to clean the toilets.
Seems like an improvement.
Well, guys, I appreciate you calling. Of course, we want to talk to you about a few situations going on at Peach State Wrestling Alliance, where you were recently the tag team champions. But before we get to that, I believe you defended your South Georgia championship, tag team championships, this over the weekend. Am I right?
Actually, no.
Okay.
We were going to be put into a four-corner tag match, and to be quite honest with you, we just won those titles last month, and in my opinion and in Thomas's opinion, we felt like that those people that were advertised to be in the match with us were not championship material. So we decided to go have a spa day and let them fight it out for a number one contendership. So we didn't go.
Oh, all right. So you just stayed in Midtown then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a nice mani pedi and a facial and Thomas went about his day.
When Simon Sermon says facial, all the straight guys laugh.
I got a facial.
Oh, God damn it.
So for those who aren't familiar with the Exotic Ones, I guess you're kind of picking up on some things. yes, Simon Sermon is, as far as I know, the first openly gay wrestler. There was a documentary several years ago about it. And surprisingly, when I see you guys wrestle in places like Peach State and other remote areas of Georgia where you used to automatically be heels because of your homosexuality, you are often embraced by those crowds now. How did that happen?
Well, the only thing I can say is, ta-da! No, basically, you know, back in the turn of the century, or what I would like to say is about 2006, you know, America's views toward the gays and the homosexuals kind of started to switch around a bit. You know, people starting to realize that, hey, this roughly 10% thing is actually a real number, and that means it's like my uncle, my cousin, my aunt, my next-door neighbor, whatever. You know, the South being a few years behind, it's just now 2012, and they're kind of getting with it. You know, it took about 6 years after everybody else in the rest of the world figured it out, but now the South is with us, and because of the exotic ones, the South will rise again.
Yes. Yeah, well, I totally disagree with that. Carrollton's a crazy place, and they just hate black folks more than they do us queers.
Thank you. Somebody finally said it. Yes.
I was
going to
say the last time I was at Peach State, it was when the Washington Bullets were still champions, and you guys were feuding with them, and the Bullets.
Oh, they hated us. They hated us.
Yeah.
They just hated the black folks a little more.
Yeah, they did. And we've had the Bullets on the show before.
I've got my own philosophy on that one. I got a feeling that all the people in these backwoods towns are closeted homos anyway, so that's why they love the exotic ones.
Yeah, well, I'm not telling any
personal experience with that, my friend. You need to call me.
No, I'm good.
If you see the women there, you kind of come to understand that.
Oh, quite clearly, Danny Only, if you did go there and see the women, you would be an exotic one in 2.2.
No, man, my wife got it. It's awesome.
Well, I've never been to SGCW. That's down in Albany. So what is the crowd reaction like for you there?
Well, they're a little further south.
Yes, they're a little closer to the Florida line.
Yeah, they're a little further south, so... you know, modern things like electricity and cell phone towers hasn't quite reached there yet.
All right. Well, who was the, do you know who won the number one contender match?
It doesn't matter. They told us, you know, the next I heard is it didn't really matter who wins. We're not on the show again until, I believe, July, and then they're going to bring in some idiot named Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton to try to beat us, which is not going to happen. So it really didn't matter about this weekend's winner. They're not getting a shot anyway.
Is that like the Lemon Party I've heard of so much?
Oh, my God.
The what?
I just thought, I don't know. I'm trying
what
to...
What was the question?
With Morton and Gibson, I said, does that classify as the Lemon Party I've read about?
Oh. I don't know. I'm not real up on this sort of thing.
What? Yeah. What's that?
Well, whatever
you
do, do not Google Lemon Party. Just
okay,
Google
I won't
lemon
do that.
Party.
No, I'm not Googling Lemon Party.
Oh, yeah, and don't Google Meat Spin either. But no, I've got a serious question.
I was going to say, don't Google Doggy Style with a Reach Around either.
Oh, I know what that is.
Oh, okay.
Simon Sermon, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
And, oh, my God, you did it again, son of a bitch.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
love wrestling terms.
For those who are listening and have no idea, let me go ahead and clear the air on this. Despite his very flamboyant attitude, Simon Sermon is not a slouch, and people know that he can definitely back up everything he says. So I've got a question for you, bro. When did you come out? And when you did you meet any you know, conflict or anything in the wrestling world as far as from the wrestlers themselves, or was it all just behind the back snarky comment?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When I trained to be a wrestler, and this is a story I've told 100,000 times before, when I trained to be a wrestler, the first thing that I told the trainer was that I was not going to hide my sexuality. You know, I thought that for the most part, the reason why people were against gay folks is because, you know, they're secretly lurking behind every corner, and you just never can tell when they're going to pop out and get you from behind or whatever. And I felt like that the best way to tackle this subject was to, pardon the pun, but come at them from the front. And that's the way I did it from the very first day of training. Everyone knew that Simon Sermon was the gay guy. And so as far as snarky remarks, they would have to keep that behind my back because, you know, I am a big girl at 220 pounds, and I can take care of myself.
I don't know.
What about you, Tommy?
Go ahead. Well, you know, not all of what Simon said was true. He did come out from around the corner and grab me from the back, so that's pretty much my story.
And thus the latest incarnation of the exotic ones were born.
Well, Tommy's always been an exotic one. He was sort of the undercover guy. There was at one point where we had exotic ones, you know, defending titles down in the south part of Georgia, while the exotic ones were winning titles in the north part of Georgia. The exotic ones have not always been just me and Rick Michaels. There are actually five of us at one point. There's myself, Rick Michaels, Tommy Too Much, All-Star Jay and Jay Clinton, and a beautiful little blonde boy that we just recently recruited not too long ago by the name of Stoney Hooker. Yum, yum, yum. So at any point you could see, you know, any combination, and those are the exotic ones.
Kind of like the Blue Man Group.
Oh, I don't know. It's kind of like the Freebirds, except we suck, popsicles.
Hello. There you go.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning. I don't want to be inappropriate.
Too late.
Too late. Yeah, I just said popsicles. What were you guys talking about?
Penis.
This is not going to turn into one of those types of shows.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on in PWA, where 2 weeks ago you were involved in a match against J-Rod and CJ Awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess was that when you lost the titles, or did that happen prior to that?
Well,
we didn't actually have the titles. The titles were held up due to a controversial call by Shane Knowles, actually trying to reverse a decision that was made by the referee where some brass knuckles was actually used. So the titles was actually held up, and neither party was the champion.
Okay.
So this weekend after the melee went on, they did manage to use the knuckles again and get the referee's call to become the champions. So.
Okay. But that was a fans strap match. I don't know exactly what it was called, but basically fans were allowed to bring belts, and it got a little out of hand from what I hear.
Well, a little out of hand, I think, puts it quite mildly.
Mild, very mild.
At the end of the that first match where CJ Awesome and J-Rod, you know, hit the brass knuckles or whatever, and the titles were held up, there was a return match, and it kind of ended in a no contest, I think a double count out, and at which point, you know, Shane Knowles came back and said, hey, you know, if you guys want to settle this out and, you know, get a real winner and a real champion, a real set of champions, then we'll just have a no disqualification match. At which point their manager, Wicked Nemesis, for what reason I can't possibly imagine, went into business for himself and goes, hey, well, if you want to make it a no disqualification match, how about we make it a fan brings strap match, at which point, of course, the crowd went crazy because, you know, they liked the idea of being able to get their hands on CJ Awesome and J-Rod and Wicked Nemesis. So to be honest with you, I can't even imagine why that idiot would have said that to begin with, because they're not going to – I mean, they love us. I mean, we're all girls. They love us. And they really hate them, so I, you know, it's beyond me why he would go into business for himself. I don't know if he got caught up in the moment. You know, he says that he was listening to the fans, and one of the fans said it, and he just repeated what he said and everything. And I mean, it was beyond me, but he totally went into business for himself, and that's kind of what came out of it. And you know, Shane, I guess also in the heat of the moment, just kind of went with it, not realizing what the ramifications and the repercussions would have been.
Well, not only did Nemeth is going to business for himself. As soon as he said that, the fans went into business for themselves.
They did.
And these people planned. Yeah, these people planned for 2 weeks what they were going to do to CJ and J-Rod. One guy went out and bought specifically a strap that was like 4 inches wide, an inch thick, and about 7 foot long.
Yeah, got it from a horse stable or something like that.
Yes.
And you know, long story short, you know, fast forward to the show, and I had serious reservations about the thing from the beginning, and me and Thomas both, we just had serious reservations, the whole idea of fans, you know, having straps and things like that, and I voiced my opinion to Shane Knowles when we got there, and he assured us that everything was fine. And what he described to us was that they would pick a couple of people who had straps out from the crowd, and they would then take their straps that they brought and put them in the ring for us to use. And at that point, I felt like that was a stipulation that I could live with. You know, no fans were going to be in a position where they could get hurt. No wrestlers would be in a position where they could get hurt or hurt the fans. And so at that point, you know, the Exotic Ones are like, cool, we can deal with that. So, you know, fast forward to the match, and we're sitting there getting ready to go on, and all of a sudden the announcer says, hey, we're ready for the strap match. We're going to call out 10 people from the audience, and they're going to stand around the ring with their straps. And the announcer proceeds to go on and pick the 10 most vicious, nastiest people that have legitimate gripes with CJ Awesome and J-Rod, one of them being a guy that had a heart attack a few weeks ago, right there during a match during one of their promos, and the guy stood there and made fun of the guy while he's, you know, pulling at his chest and everything. And then, you know, a couple days later, that guy's dad died, and then they came back a week later and cut a promo about how the guy's dad, you know, died and everything. So, I mean, that guy had a legitimate gripe with him. And then they pulled out, you know, children from the crowd to stand, you know, it was a mess. And when that bell rang and we went to have the match, CJ Awesome and J-Rod took a powder after we caught them with a couple of straps. And man, as soon as their big toe hit the floor, those people went crazy and attacked them. I mean, they attacked the guy with the big horse strap. I mean, CJ Awesome just had it all inside of his face, got himself in the ear and the chest, big huge welt with J-Rod. And I mean, it was a riot. It was an absolute riot.
And it wasn't
riot.
Just the straps being used. They was also swinging the belt buckles on the belt. CJ Awesome took a belt buckle to the side of the head. You know, J-Rod was out there trying to defend himself. CJ knocked Loopy, doing the best he could. Security got involved. Fans were swinging fists, throwing stuff. I mean,
guys, I'm going to tell you what. Bottom line, I don't like CJ Awesome that much. You know, I felt like at one point in time in this business he had something going for him, but I mean, he's let himself go lazy. He's taken the easy way out. J-Rod, I've never liked. Ever since my days of RPW, that guy, never liked that man. But for the first time in my wrestling career, I'm standing up in the ring, and I'm watching these guys getting mauled by the fans, and I'm thinking to myself, is there something that we should be doing? Should we, you know, because the fans, they didn't have an issue with us. They, you know, they were cool with us. I mean, we could have got down there and done whatever, but me and Tommy, I was just like, Tommy, I don't know what to do. I think we should do something, but I don't know what to do because, their fists were flying. Bodies were getting slung at children, you know, people who were mentally incapacitated, old women, these guys that had real beef with them, and I mean, it was madness. It was absolute madness.
It wasn't that long ago when that crowd didn't have a whole lot for you either. So I mean, if you had interjected yourself, I'm pretty sure they would have turned the switch, as you know, and went back to maybe a month or so ago when they didn't care for you guys either.
Well, that was definitely a point.
Yeah, if there was any defense that came to CJ and J-Rod, yeah, because like you said, just 2 months ago, we were J-Rod and CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Those people hated our guts a few months ago, and if that had been us down there 2 months ago, you'd have been hearing about us knocking the crap out of some fans and everything else. And, you know, I don't know what Wicked Nemesis had in mind when he threw that stipulation in there. But, dude, look what happened. I mean, it's pure madness. And at this point now, from what I understand, you know, there's an investigation being conducted. And if it turns out that PWA is at fault, I'm told that they're going to be closing the doors, that this show right here is the last show that they're ever going to have because of that situation right there.
Well, there's another point. There's another point. Nemesis made the stipulation, but then hightailed it out of Dodge before the match started.
I forgot to even mention that. Yeah, he wasn't even there. He took off. He made the stipulation a couple of weeks before, and he had to know that he wasn't going to be allowed to hide in the ring with us. And so he had to know that he was going to be out there with those fans, and at some point it must have dawned on him. And, dude, he did a spot at the beginning of the show, and he was gone. That was it. He was out.
I was actually there the night that the match got booked, and just the minute they said it, I mean, there was this visceral reaction in the crowd. I mean, they literally went into planning right then. I heard pockets of people all up, yeah, we're going to do this. I can't wait to do this. Can't wait to do that.
Right. Goes back to what I said. They went into business for themselves. Uh-huh. They knew they had a plan of what they wanted to do.
I'm going to be quite honest with you guys. If Shane Knowles had lost control of his show to the degree that I saw a couple of weeks ago, then I don't think that I can really argue with you know, if it comes down that they have to close doors for a little while. I don't know if it's for a little while or permanently. I mean, based on what I heard, I think he may have to close down permanently. But, I mean, you know, fans could have been seriously, seriously injured. The wrestlers could have been seriously, seriously injured. I mean, there could be lawsuits, for crying out loud. I'm glad that me and Tommy stayed in the ring, because if anybody gets sued, it's not going to be us.
Right, and it's been a constant de-escalation since the Tribulation showed up. You know, they've really got that crowd into an absolute frenzy, which is not hard to do out there anyways. There might be places where you could do some sort of fans, bring a strap match or that thing, and it worked to where no one gets killed, but that ain't the place.
Dude, it ain't chosen.
This is the same show that during one of our matches with the Washington Bullets, our match damn near came to a standstill because two idiots are now fighting in front of the bathrooms.
Yeah, I was at that
show. Oh, they've had fist fights.
And then two weeks later, the same idiots are fist fighting again.
Yep. Because
and that was all over, apparently.
Oh, the fight was over. This is what the fight was over. I like the exotic ones. Well, I like CJ Austin and J-Rod. That was the fight. A fist fight.
Oh. I heard the first time that the one guy was looking at the other guy's 12-year-old daughter funny or something.
Oh, God.
That was a rumor.
It's just trailer park trash. I'm sorry.
I think they would rather admit they were looking at a 12-year-old than they are were the exotic ones. But it was actually. They were looking at the exotic
better
ones.
Than,
everything's better than being exotic.
Now, you know, your interest there in Peach State has always been, regardless of what the crowd's attitude toward you was, you always came out through the crowd. Did you have reservations about doing that, or were you, you just doing your thing and you just come what may?
Hey, you know what? Sometimes I just got to dance with the people, baby.
Yes, the exotic ones has never been a standard. You know, we did other shows before where we came out to absolutely no music, and we decided when we wanted to start the show, we just walked to the ring. And then there was other times where we've always come in through the back door. This is no different.
We came in down the stairs, at the back door, out the back door, you name it, we've been doing it.
Well, guys, this Saturday is another PWA show. And as you mentioned, Simon, Shane Knowles actually posted a video about the situation. And I guess it's the Georgia Sports Commission or something like that is doing the investigation. So this could be the last PWA show ever, which is unfortunate considering that there's only one more show before what would be the 6th anniversary for PWA. Do you know what's going on this Saturday? Are you guys going to be part of the show?
I know that we're there. We had another tag match advertised, and if it's anything, I mean, you know, before I even leave the house, I want to know what all the details are.
I want to know who's involved, what's involved, you know, because at this point, I love Shane to death, and but you know, I've kind of lost some confidence in his ability to run things appropriately, because in my point of view, and I'm pretty sure that Tommy agrees, but in my point of view, when the announcer starts announcing things that are not what you had intended for any reason, and the outcome, you know, could potentially be about it. Because we were back, I'm telling you guys, we were back there and we're screaming and yelling at these guys, look, they're setting this up all the wrong way. They're doing this all the wrong way. This is going to be disastrous. And I'm not Lady Cleo or Miss Cleo or anything like that. I don't have any freaking magical powers. I have the ability to look at a situation and ascertain what's going to happen based on my experience. And my experience told me that that was a nightmare in the making. And instead of making changes, they did nothing. They stood there with their jaws open, with their tongue hanging out, in complete disbelief at the direction this was going, and they did nothing. Not until did the melee get started did Shane Knowles, in my opinion, have the balls to stand up and put a stop to it. You know, they did. I have to give him credit. He identified what was going on, and he did put a stop to it. And none freaking too soon, guys, because I'm surprised that people didn't go to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Because they can say whatever they want to. I had a bird's eye view. I was standing there, and I was looking down at what was going on, and people, bodies were flying, and that's all I can tell you. And if Shane has lost control of his show to that degree, then it seems to me that just 2 weeks shy or a month shy of their sixth anniversary, they've gotten too big for their britches, and something has to change.
Well, the problem with Shane Knowles is that when Nemesis went into business for himself and he announced a fan strap match, if Shane Knowles would have went out there and canceled that match and just made it a match, well, he was the bad guy. But if he let the match go on, he was the bad guy. So Nemesis went into business for himself was kind of smart if he really wanted to turn the fans against Shane, you see, because either way he was going to turn out to be the bad guy. Now, as far as Shane losing control, the one stipulation that I know of for this Saturday night is that the tag match, after the melee, after 2 weeks, 2 weeks later, this match is a no DQ. So what does he think? Shouldn't he now have more regulation? Shouldn't he now have more of a tighter hold on this match after 2 weeks ago than allowing a no disqualification? That was, once again, something you and I had no clue about.
Dude, I mean, I know that I think that if this show is the last show, you know, Shane's wanting to go out with a bang. But, you know, sometimes a bang can be a little too loud, you know.
Sounds
bang
like it.
Here's a
still ringing
from 2 weeks
called
ago.
In to shut you down.
Well, the bang from 2 weeks ago, people are still ringing.
Yeah, I mean, still ringing in people's ears.
I've seen the card for this Saturday, and, I mean, what's scheduled is good enough on its own. This Crew Jones is defending the Heritage title against Johnny Swinger, and you guys are scheduled for a match. And I mean, it seems like they could just do a show with no gimmick matches and still pull off a good show. And the timing
show
of all this is weird too, because as I mentioned last week before we went off the air, just as an informal thing on Facebook, I put out for people to just comment with who they thought their most exciting local promotion is or whatever. And PWA fans responded quite a lot. So I was going to come out to the show on Saturday and let Shane Knowles know what was going on with that, just to congratulate him. But now I'm definitely going to go, because it could be the last show that they do. So hopefully that's not the case though, because like I said, they should hopefully at least make it to their sixth anniversary 2 or 3 weeks from now. But sounds like a very unfortunate situation, and I think you're right. You're fortunate to not have gotten involved in it, because it sounds like it's devolved into quite a mess.
Oh, it sounds to me like, you know, when everything is said and done, you know, there's still a possibility that heads are going to roll here, and I'm not quite so sure that it won't be Shane's.
In fact, it doesn't sound to me like Shane Knowles is actually the one pulling the strings or calling the shots. Because he sure isn't speaking up when it comes time to speak up. you know.
What about, where's the Wicked Nemesis? Is he scheduled to be at this show Saturday?
Well, I don't know. I don't keep up with those guys, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was there.
Okay, well, I guess we will all just have to wait and see. But,
and another thing, too, you know, in retrospect, another issue to this, you know, is the fact that, you know, Wicked Nemesis came out with an apology within hours of having heard of what happened. And I have to give, you know, that guy some credit for, you know, just having what it took to realize that he had caused a bad situation. And he actually put out an apology. He did, CJ Awesome, you know, the whole group, you know, they all realized that this was a bad situation, and they apologized to us, the wrestlers, first and foremost, for being in a bad situation with them, and they also apologized to the fans. And I think that a lot of folks have to realize that, you know, these guys had their backs up against the wall. It was 2 versus 200, and you know, things could have been done differently. I'm not exactly sure what, but you have to give those guys credit for being the first to say, I'm sorry for what happened. It took Shane Knowles, like I said, I love you guy, but I mean, it took that guy like almost a week to even open his mouth, you know, and it didn't take me that long to figure out when something's completely messed up. And it took him over a week to come out and make a statement. And, you know, the guy who was responsible for it, in my opinion, the guy who really did, who really set this thing into motion, you know, he realized the error of his ways almost immediately and saw what happened, and he apologized, and I thought he was sincere about it. So people really do have to give him credit for being man enough to say that he messed up.
Right. Well, I think we'll probably get him on in the next week or two, the Wicked Nemesis, that is, to get his side of it and find out where he was when all that was happening and what his intentions were and everything. But we kind of need to wrap this show up, so I want to thank Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much for calling in. And
good morning!
And before we go, Danny, do you have any random tidbits of... And what did you call it last week, Matt?
Fun fact with Danny Only.
Fun fact with Danny
Only. Fun fact with Danny
Only. Cauliflowers. Stuff with pizza and crap on it and poop. You should have saw the picture.
Oh, no. Cauliflower crust pizza is amazing.
I think it has poop on it. I'm not sure what I saw.
You're so retarded.
Is poop low-cal?
Here's an interesting little fun fact. If you happen to watch The Matrix, pay attention when Neo or Mr. Anderson is in his cubicle. Look at the phone books that he has on his shelf. And when he actually becomes Neo and he goes to see the Oracle, the exact same phone books are on the top of her refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Somebody's been watching DVD extras.
No, I was actually watching it on regular TV, and I was like, oh, shit, those are the same phone books. Because it said something like City Phone or Phone City, and it just made me laugh. And then I saw them again. I'm like, hey, look at that. Yeah. So.
Looks like Fag City to me. Fag.
Shut your fucking dirty whore mouth, Simon.
All right. Well, we need to end the show. Danny, who is it that we have next week? Another friend of yours is calling in.
Shit.
Vito.
Yeah, Vito Danucci from NWA Ring Warriors, I think.
All right. So we'll have him and probably someone else next week, and I'm sure we'll have some wrestling to talk about. With what's going on with PWA and Anarchy and all the other things. Oh, Damnation is showing up. All right, guys, we got to go. So until next week, enjoy some wrestling. Go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Talk to you later.
So long, everybody.
See you tomorrow, Simon.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.